Let us turn in God's Word to Romans chapter 11. Certainly, Romans is Paul's great letter to teach us the great truths of the gospel. And as you know, in the New Testament, we have some 21 letters, and at least 13 of those were written by the Apostle Paul, those Pauline letters as we speak of them. And certainly, I don't believe any is more important than what we have here in Romans. And Paul was that one who was in an amazing way prepared with his Hebrew Jewish background and then that Greek education and Roman citizenship and that preparation that God gave to him. He was that one to spread the gospel to the nations as a chief spokesman for the spread of the gospel. And then here, the city of Rome, the capital of the empire, almost a million people, some 30,000 plus Jews, and then people from all those different nations. And of course, before us in Romans 11 is God's great plan of the ages, written to His church there in Rome. We read in Romans chapter 11, beginning with verse 17, here is God's plan, and yet as we read this plan, it's a plan spoken to us from the olive tree. Hear God's word. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in His kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature and contrary to nature, were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted in to their own olive tree? There it is, the olive tree. Some of the most amazing trees in our valley are olive trees. In Israel today, some of the most amazing trees are olive trees. During those visits that some of you have made, I'm sure you'll remember those orchards and some notable, gnarly, old olive trees. Before us, I believe we have a talking tree. It speaks to us, the olive tree. And if you look on the back of your bulletins, just a broad outline, and here the symbol of Israel, and really this is an amazing tree, the olive tree. It does more than talk. It's a valuable tree. Everything from the wood that was used in magnificent pieces in the temple to how it was that which was the very tree that was used to really pay for much of the building of the building materials of the temple. And here, this tree, the Israelites knew very well as being as a symbol of the people of God. Olive groves covered much of Canaan as they arrived into that land as a source of income, the oil from the olives. And you'll find those olive presses to this very day. Now, interesting, this tree is spoken of as the king of trees, this olive tree. Some of us aren't real fond of it because of the allergies that it causes. I believe they've actually now passed laws in the city of Tucson that you can't put them out in Tucson, plant them. But it certainly has been a tree that was very part of the life of Israel in its cooking, in its commerce, in all these different areas. It is this amazing symbol for Israel, the people of God. Here in this passage, it speaks to us as the true people of God, those who share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, who are the people of God. Now, outwardly, you remember those passages that we've read. Outwardly, they are those who are called Jews, but aren't really Jews. Inwardly, we have Paul speaking in Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Those who are truly Jews have that inward faith and trust in the God of Abraham. They are those who praise the God of Abraham. They know Him. They've come to be part of the real, true Israel of God, the people of God. They're spoken of by Paul a number of times. In that sense, it's like two nations come out of Abraham. That nation that is the true people of God, the promised people, and those who are merely outwardly part of the seed of Abraham. We could speak of Jacob and Esau. We could go down through all the history, and there is definitely those who are only outwardly identified as God's people, as Israel, but then there are those who are truly the people of God. And Paul tells us about this olive tree. What does he tell us? First of all, they are the branches that are broken off. They are those who it seem outwardly they're part of the tree. And yet, because of unbelief, they're broken off. The olive tree, the true people of God, whose root is the patriarchs and whose growth represents the people of God down through all the centuries. Now, think of those branches that are broken off. He says some branches are broken off. Who are they? They are the unbelieving Jews that are being spoken of here. Natural branches with all the privileges that the patriarchs had, with all the privileges of the temple and the giving of the law and the word of God. And from those very people came the Messiah. The Jews had all those great privileges. God blessed them. Outwardly, they had it all. And yet, the tree tells us that there are branches that are broken off of the tree. Unbelieving Jews, even though they have all the privileges. Look at verse 20 of our passage before us. Very clearly, he says, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. The righteous judgment of God came upon them. This is not something that's new for the Jews. In the old and new times, the judgment of God comes upon them when they're unbelieving. They fell in the wilderness, even though they were part of the congregation of God, the church of God in the wilderness. They fell, they died in the wilderness because of unbelief. Today, as it was in the Apostle Paul's time, there are those who have had all the outward privileges as Jews, and yet they do not, will not receive Jesus and believe on Him as their Lord, as their Messiah, as their Savior. And that's the truth that we have all through the Scriptures. Read Hebrews chapter 11. There is Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, and Rahab. All of them are part of the people of God because of faith in the coming Lord and His salvation. Look at that passage in Hebrews 11 with me just for a moment. Hebrews 11, there in verse 32. Interesting how this preacher puts it as he speaks to them the Word of God. In Hebrews 11, verse 32, he says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." We have now the full revelation of God's great salvation in Jesus Christ. We have it now. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's right now. Branches are broken off because of unbelief. Without a living faith, you will be broken off and die. Judgment comes upon unbelief long ago and right now. The third step we take as we go through this passage is that of the branches grafted in. And it's really amazing. And you Gentiles, Gentile believers, though wild, are grafted into the real people of God in the nourishing root of the olive tree. By faith, you can be in me. It's as if the olive tree speaking, you can be part of the people of God and enjoy the nourishment of the life-giving sap that comes from me. I am that place of life. Interesting, as you see this picture that's there before you, we have that of the wild branch being grafted in to the cultivated olive tree. There have been some of the liberals who have even made fun of the Apostle Paul. They said, "Here is this man who is evidently a city slicker. He really doesn't know much about olive trees." You don't graft in the wild, but you do it the other way around. That is, you graft in that which would be a cultivated branch into the olive tree. And that's the way it's done. City slicker, you don't know what you're saying. And yet how interesting, as those who know the whole working of the olive tree, those who studied even archaeologically the history, have come to discover that the way they would reinvigorate an olive tree that was not producing, it was fading away, it was no longer with that great production, they would actually bud back in. A wild branch. Wild branches. And it would reinvigorate the olive tree. In a sense, it's contrary to nature. Here is what God is doing. He brings into the very people of God those who had not been people of God. Gentiles. These people who are far away. These people who don't belong. They're grafted into the people of God. They come to have all the blessings from the God of Abraham. They have all the good things of God's great promises. They're grafted in and they're part of the people of God. I love it how God's Word goes beyond all man's reasoning, and there's more wisdom there and understanding than all its critics. we read God's Word, and it gives us understanding of how the very church of God, yes, bringing the Gentiles into God's congregation, reinvigorates, and it begins to spread over all the earth, and there is much fruit bearing. And the tree, so to speak, says, by grafting into me the wild branches, the Gentiles, I'm invigorated to grow and produce fruit and oil in abundance, contrary to nature, and yet part of God's amazing plan for the Word of God, the Gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to be spread. Yes, we have all the blessing as the people of God. Gentiles and Jews that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are joined together, and there is a oneness. There is blessing in Jesus Christ. Read with me again those words from Galatians chapter 3. How good are these promises to us. Galatians 3 verse 28. To be reminded again of these good things of God's Word and the blessings of being the congregation of God. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There's no blessings that are left out to those who are Gentile believers. There are no blessings left out. You have it all in Jesus Christ. It's there. It's full. It's good. The olive tree says, you are in the tree. You belong. It's good. Now there are some warnings that are given. Very direct warnings that are given. The branches are warned. The olive tree has experienced pruning and grafting. Jews have been cut out because of unbelief, and in their place, wild branches, wild Gentiles have been included by faith, but there's no place for boasting. That warning comes. There's no place for boasting over the Jews. You depend on the root. Without the root, you die. You don't support the tree. You've been included in because of grace, because of the goodness and kindness of God. You've been brought in to be part of the people of God. That's grace. There's no place to boast over someone else. You are in the tree due to the Lord graciously giving you faith, and by faith alone you continue to be in the tree. Keep on believing, keep on trusting, keep on obeying, keep on following the Lord Jesus Christ, and stand in awe. Look again, verse 21, or the end of verse 20. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He will not spare you either. There is that abiding in Him that's very real. We can drift off, but the Lord calls us back. The hallmark of true people of God is that they continue to believe. There are some who actually teach in our day, if you somehow or another maybe made some decision 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you prayed a prayer or signed a card or whatever it may be, you're just fine, no matter what you do in this life. But God's Word tells us that we are to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. We continue believing in Him. We continue in Him, vitally connected to Him, if we are God's people. There's no place for assurance if one goes on living in sin and only says, I became a Christian 30 years ago. I prayed a prayer. God's Word calls us to continue to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, the branches grafted in again. There's a promise to all Jews believing in the Messiah, trusting in Him. They will be grafted in again. You can be grafted in again if you do not persist in unbelief. there is salvation. God is able to do it to you. Verse 23 very clearly says, and if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature and contrary to nature, were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? There is something that's wonderful here in this whole story from the olive tree. And that, yes, those in unbelief are broken off. Those who come to have faith in the Messiah, even though they are wild Gentiles, they are grafted in. But God promises that, yes, He will graft in again even those that were broken off. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they come to be part of the people of God again. And then, as He's already said, it will result in even greater blessing in the world as this wondrous story unfolds. God brings great blessing, even greater blessing, to the Gentile nations of the world. Very quickly, time would fail us, but quickly look at the lessons that are here for us this morning. First, for the Church of Jesus Christ, we as a church, as Gentiles, we're not something altogether new. God has had His people all through the many ages. The church didn't just come about the other day or even on the day of Pentecost. He has had His people as His congregation, His gathered ones, His true Israel, all down through the many centuries. And there's only one way to be the people of God, and that's by faith in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to be joined together with the people of God. We have that wondrous oneness together as Jews and Gentiles. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we have that privilege, obligation, debt to take the gospel to the Jews. There is a sense in which, as we read the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, there is a sadness that comes upon us as we read of how the church, as Gentiles, came to despise the Jewish people. There was an ugliness that cast its shadow down through the centuries that is a terrible embarrassment. Certainly, there has been great, great persecution by those who do not name the name of Christ. Those who are atheists, such as an Adolf Hitler. Those as Stalin and others who murdered and killed and gassed. The Holocaust comes to our mind. But there has been, even among those who name the name of Christ, times when there has been a despising of the Jews in such a way that it has been sinful. Sinful. And we need to see that we have a oneness together as we come to have faith in Christ, and we have an obligation to take that gospel to the Jewish people. And that really, this oneness that we have with, as Gentiles and Jews, is the only answer we have to this world of violence that seems to be growing every day, whether it's in Baghdad or in our own city right here, as someone pulls a gun out and shoots a police officer. We have the only thing that will really make us one. Gentiles and Jews become one in Jesus Christ. The olive tree tells us to practice this reality in our daily lives, that we are to be, as the people of God, one. We live of the same nourishing sap. We live of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the only answer to the violence in Israel, the only answer to the violence in our world today, on our own streets, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be grafted into the people of God by faith. As we seek to take the gospel to all the different parts of the earth, I hope this tree, the olive tree, speaks to you this morning. In fact, find an olive tree somewhere and just hang on to it a while and think through these things. We really do have a oneness with all the people of God as we are joined together in Jesus Christ. There's no place for being silent about the good news we have in Christ. We are blessed with all the blessings possible in Christ. Let us pray. As we have bowed our heads before the Lord, I would ask you if you have really come to see and stand in awe with the great plan that God has shown to us, the great plan of His gospel, His good news, His people, His church being one in Jesus Christ. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Oh Lord, I pray that You'd give to every one of us here a new sense of awe for how glorious is Your gospel, how wonderful is Your plan that Jews and Gentiles by faith join together. There's no longer any separation between them. Oh Lord, write upon us an urgency to take this good news into the everyday lives, into the marketplace, into the workplace, that all the different ethnic groups and all the different peoples really do have oneness in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, that You've given to us reconciliation. You've forgiven us of our sins through the shed blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask now, Father, that You would give to us a fresh urgency of making known that message to Jews and Gentiles alike. We ask this in Christ's name.